Ladies and gentlemen, we are now beginning the conference call. If you get disconnected during the call, please call 1-888-409-6709. Again, the number to get reconnected is 1-888-409-6709. At this time, your line is muted and will continue to remain muted during the conference. To ask a question or if you have a comment, please press star 1. If at any time during the conference you need assistance, please press star 0. I would now like to introduce Dr. Joanne Carter, Executive Director of Results located in Washington, D.C., to open the call.
Thanks a lot, Operator, and welcome everyone to the Results August 2014 conference call focused on U.S. poverty. And I want to especially welcome any new folks on the call. We're thrilled to have you. Just a quick reminder to everyone that you can download a set of PowerPoint slides to accompany this call by going to the Take Action box, which is in the upper right-hand corner on the Results website on the homepage. So I want to start just by really saying thank you to all of you for the work that you're doing to get face-to-face meetings this month with your representatives and senators in the home districts. There's really literally nothing you can do that could have more direct impact on your members of Congress and on our agenda than meeting face-to-face this month in your communities. You know, and we have heard over and over again from members of Congress and from the surveys that have done with their staff that meeting members face-to-face as constituents is the most powerful way to influence them. And I would just say if you haven't gotten a meeting confirmed yet, we've still got literally almost a whole month before they come back. So keep asking because persistence will pay off. But I would say also think about who else in your community, and I know many of you are doing this and it's really smart, but who else in your community you might include in the meeting request, who might help get the meeting and actually make it a more powerful meeting. And I would say in the last 20 years of doing this work, I've been surprised over and over again by many influential folks in our communities who have relatively strong access to members of Congress but don't use it, but they do want to make a difference. So reaching out to folks and doing those things to get meetings. And the strategy that we'll be working on today, getting to town hall meetings with your members of Congress or candidate forums, is another really powerful way to have your voice and our issues heard by members of Congress, but also by other folks in the community. And you'll hear many great tips and strategies, but just one thought from me as well that links these two things. You know, if you get a town hall and can ask a question on our issues, or if you get to a town hall meeting and can get in line and shake hands with your members of Congress, it's a great time to ask for a face-to-face meeting, because in that forum, they will not say no, and you're very likely to get a yes, and then you can use that to follow up to get that follow-on meeting as well. And as you know, this August recess, both pre-election, but also with the degree to which our issues around these tax credits have actually been both in the news, but particularly on the agenda of the House of Representatives, it's really a key moment. So it's a key moment to keep up the momentum on the policies we want and the legislation that we're working on, but also it's a sort of key teachable moment for members of Congress about the child tax credit bill that was passed that you'll hear more about, that we really have problems with, that didn't actually lock in the key improvements for low-income families, that left millions of immigrant families out, the really problematic Paul Ryan poverty plan. So this is a moment where we can actually push forward the issues we care about, but also really intervene on some of the policies that we see as really problematic. And it's also, we also know that when Congress comes back after the elections is a likely moment when they're going to be looking at tax legislation, about expiring loopholes, and we need to ensure, with the work that we've done throughout the year, but also intensively over these next months, that the priorities that we care about, which is ensuring that these tax, refundable tax credits and asset policies actually benefit low-income families and help and individuals and help them move out of poverty, that those things are prioritized, you know, in these tax decisions that will be made. So thank you for the work that you're doing, pushing on those meetings, getting to those town halls, having your voices and your issues heard. I think it's going to really matter. And again, it's an election year. People are listening. I'm now going to stop for a minute and ask our board chair, Dr. Scott Lechman, to give us an update and announcement on our newly elected grassroots board members. So, Scott, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Joanne. Hello, everyone. It is my honor to announce who the two newest grassroots board members are going to be. As you probably know, we just concluded an election, and we had an exceptionally strong slate of candidates. But before I announce the two winners, I'd like to take a moment to thank Jenny Votes and Heidi Craig. They're the board members that are leaving the board. And I just want you to know that they have put in tons of hours and effort and have been really key people on the board that have really helped make our organization better. So I'm very grateful for all the efforts that they, these two individuals have put into board work. So the two newest board members that you've elected are Cindy Levin and Vanessa Garcia. So I'm pleased to welcome both of them onto the board, and we're going to put them to work. So thanks very much, and I will now turn it
back to me, Scott.
Back to you. Okay. Thank you all.
Thanks so much, Scott, for all of your leadership, too. And I also just want to echo the real thanks and the huge debt of gratitude to Heidi Craig and Jenny Votes for their leadership on the board. And, you know, on this call, I think particularly thanking Jenny for all of her leadership on our domestic poverty issues, all of her smart and strategic perspective around these issues, around inclusion, around the priority of the grassroots. It's been really a huge pleasure and honor to work with her. And I'm really thrilled. We did have a great slate, and I'll be thrilled to be working also with Vanessa Garcia and Cindy Levin. I just want to, so before I turn the call over, just to say in a moment you'll get a legislative update from Kayla Kitson, who's our U.S. poverty intern, doing a great job. And then you're going to hear from a very special guest, Tom LaPointe, who has experience as a legislator in human service agencies, as an advocate, a political consultant, and we'll get the benefit of his perspective and experience as we go into this August recess to maximize the impact we can have on our issues. Then some training and strategizing about how to be effective in town hall meetings, some great shares from among you folks, and then a roll call focusing on your ambitious plans for meeting members of Congress and getting to those town halls and candidate meetings this August. So now I'll turn the call over to Kayla Kitson to give you a legislative update, and thank you again for everything that you're doing.
Hi, everyone. Can everyone hear me?
We can. Go ahead, Kayla. Yeah.
Great. I was having line trouble earlier. So Joanne mentioned the recent child tax credit bill that just passed the House, the Child Tax Credit Improvement Act, or H.R. 4935. So that passed the House on July 25th. So we oppose the bill because while it permanently extends the child tax credit to higher income households, it doesn't address a key provision that would benefit low-income households that are set to expire in 2017. So under the bill, families earning between $150,000 and $205,000 would be able to receive the credit, but a single parent with two children working full-time at a minimum wage job would lose her entire credit worth about $1,700 after 2017 unless Congress acts to extend that improvement. The bill would also take the credit away from about 5 million children and immigrant families, including about 4 million children who are U.S. citizens, by requiring the taxpayer to have a Social Security number to claim the credit. And on top of those things, the bill doesn't include any offsets to pay for the estimated $90 billion cost of the bill over 10 years. So if you haven't already, check to see how your representative voted. There's a link, I believe, on the slide to the roll call vote. And be sure to thank them if they voted against the bill or express your disappointment if they voted for it. So the Senate's not expected to take up the bill, but after the elections, Congress is expected to address the expiring tax loopholes. And your advocacy on this bill really sends a message to policymakers about the priorities that should be considered during the negotiations. Secondly, Paul Ryan's poverty plan was released on July 24th. It's called Expanding Opportunity in America. There's many elements of the plan, but there's three that we're particularly concerned with. First of all, the plan was...
Oh, Kaylee, you're still there? We lost you.
Her line disconnected.
Okay, well, I'll finish it out. So this is Jocelyn, the grassroots manager for U.S. Poverty Campaigns. So getting on with what Kayla was talking about, Paul Ryan's plan, basically what it would do is it would consolidate 11 programs into a block grant, or called an opportunity grant, which would include the SNAP program, temporary assistance for needy families or traditional welfare, child care assistance, and housing assistance. And this would mean that SNAP, which is currently an entitlement program, would no longer be guaranteed to assist everyone who's eligible and wouldn't be able to respond to changes in the economy that result from people in need. It would also make these programs more vulnerable to funding cuts over time, which is traditionally what happens with block grants. Finally, since the opportunity grant proposal doesn't include any new resources, any increases in services for some households would result in a decrease in services for others. It also would convert Head Start into a block grant, and Head Start already serves less than half of eligible children. And block granting it again would make it susceptible to funding cuts and fewer kids being able to participate. The plan does expand the EITC for childless workers. He would roughly double the maximum EITC for this group and make it for available to adults starting at age 21 instead of currently at 25. And while we support both of these reforms, he also proposes making the CTC, the child tax credit, unavailable for many immigrant families, similar to the provision in H.R. 4935, would also eliminate the social services block grant and some child nutrition programs. So, there's a little bit of good news in Paul Ryan's plan, but a lot of bad news, and we're continuing to work on that, and we'll kind of see how that plays out over the next few months. But the good thing is about the plan is that it is getting the idea of addressing poverty into the public discourse even more, and so we can use that to kind of push the policies that we support. So I want to thank Kaylee for preparing that section for us for the call. So now I'm going to turn to our guest speaker section, and I'm very pleased to have our guest speaker in the room with me today here in Iowa. And our guest is Tom LaPointe, and Tom is a former Maine legislator, also a public affairs officer with the Maine Department of Human Services, a political consultant, and a staffer of Every Child Matters, former political staffer, which is a national advocacy group which we've worked with in the past. Over the years, Tom has advised public and private clients as to the how-tos of moving an issue in the media and meeting with elected officials. Right now, Tom is retired. He currently lives in Des Moines, where he attends to his sunflowers daily and meets with his state representative routinely. So he embraces the simple fact that there is a relationship between the care and feeding of sunflowers and working with elected officials. And I have to say, I've been working with Tom here in Iowa since I started with Results over 8 years ago, and Tom is one of the most politically astute and effective advocates that I know. I've always said that if I ever ran for office, and I want to make it clear that that will never happen, so put your Ready for Joss bumper stickers back in the drawer, but if I ever did, I would want Tom to run my campaign. So, Tom, welcome, and we appreciate you taking time to be here today.
Well, thanks, Joss, for that very warm and generous introduction. I'm almost at a loss for words in terms of some of the words that you spoke to, but as you pointed out to me, I'm just going to get into the questions given the time.
Why don't I kind of phrase the question and then you can go ahead and answer it. So the first question is, you've spent time as a legislator. So as a lawmaker, what kind of advocacy techniques used by your constituents did you find most effective in influencing your position on an issue?
Well, I've actually just spoken to it earlier in this presentation where the one-on-one meeting is extremely important. And some of those one-on-one meetings will be described later in terms of the congressional recess that's underway. But sometimes just encountering your a constituent or on the present side of the aisle, an elected public official at the produce department of your local grocery store may or may not provide, depending on your situational awareness and the opportunity that it presents, you know, a particular situation and opportunity to talk to a legislator. So the essence of it is one-on-one, face-to-face, and using many of the techniques that you encourage people to use through your day-to-day work in advocating on the issues that you advocate on.
Okay. So, you know, as a director of Every Child Matters here in Iowa, you know, you worked a lot with getting people to attend town halls and candidate forums to talk about the issues related to the well-being of America's children. Can you share a story where your so-called bird dogging, as we talk about, and you'll get training on that later in the call, where that bird dogging paid off? In other words, how it helped move the agenda or move the issue forward?
Well, the facts of a particular situation, really, you were part of it back in the fall of 2007 on the occasion of the lead-up to the 2008 presidential caucuses here in Iowa. You and I had determined, working with the Methodist Conference here in Iowa, where they had an event where electeds were coming in, how could we use that particular event to drive a particular issue with that moment in time? And we went through a series of strategic questions, and we concluded that the farm bill was up for reauthorization at the moment. That was the only issue that was in play, and coincidentally, Results was working on it. And you and I conspired, collaborated, worked together to get Senator Harkin to meet with none other than several of the leaders of the mainline Protestant churches and also the Roman Catholic Church at that conference. And we used it as a follow-up to make sure that Senator Harkin was going to work on certain provisions that you were pushing for back in that particular time period. I think it was a terrific event, and as a corollary to that, there was another advocate there who was working, and I said, here's your opportunity to talk to Senator Harkin. Use it right now, because Senator Harkin was being staffed that day by some rookie who was driving him around, so we just took over his presence at that conference, along with the pre-planning that we had done with all of the questions ahead of time for the bishops to ask and issues for them to promote as it related to the farm bill at that time. That, to me, was really a terrific organizational effort.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, Tom gives me a lot of credit for that, but he was the one that masterminded this whole thing and just asked me to help, you know, execute it. And I do remember that at that event, you know, the bishop of the Methodist Church here in Iowa was meeting with Senator Harkin over lunch to talk about the farm bill and the SNAP program. And, you know, Tom told me, okay, get one of your laser talks out and go coach the bishop on what to say during lunch. And so I did a laser talk training with the bishop for about 5 minutes before he went into lunch. And the good thing is that it did end up with increasing SNAP benefits in the last farm bill, not this most recent one, but the last one.
Now, on the downside, I did go to a Senator Grassley meeting in Afton, Iowa, on the occasion of the circumstances leading up to the Affordable Care Act, and several of the people sitting around this table here were part of that initiative as well. And I could not get even close to Senator Grassley at that particular meeting. So there is a need when you are presented with these opportunities to be situationally aware of what you can and cannot do in the moment, let alone leading up to the event itself. In that particular occasion, Senator Grassley was surrounded by a Praetorian guard of his staff, and you couldn't get close to him. And they were on a very, very tight schedule through the course of that particular day. And in fact, they were leaving Afton to go to a town meeting, I think, that you were at. And that one came up with a big goose egg in terms of having any impact. And of course, ultimately, the Affordable Care Act and, well, the rest is history.
Yeah, I definitely remember those town halls very well. And that actually leads into my next question. But for folks on the line, you know, if you want to go ahead and get in the queue to ask Tom a question, this will be my last question of him. So just press *1 to get into the queue. But before that, you know, kind of getting at the last point that you made, Tom, about, okay, what happens when you get to the town hall or the public event, and you're not able to ask a question. Now, sometimes these things have a lot of people, and not everybody gets a chance to ask a question in the formal Q&A of the public event. You know, what are the things that you can still do at these events to try to move your issue forward or at least get it recognized?
Well, you can always be, again, the key is situational awareness in the moment. Look for staffers. Usually staffers are the people who are probably very intense, very concerned about whether their particular candidate or their particular office holder is going to be stepping on a particular issue point the wrong way in terms of the messaging of the day. But if you're looking for a particular staffer or people who are accompanying the senator or the congressman or the elected official, get your information in front of them or ask them if you can speak to the senator or the congressman or the elected on the way to the car. Because generally these events are scheduled out over the course of a particular 8-hour day, if not longer, and they need to be at their next place. So situational awareness. The other piece is come with multiple packets as necessary, and if you have a package of material that you can put in front of a member of the press who happens to be following along, then you can get your issue possibly out into the public arena that way as well.
Great. Thanks, Tom. So I'm going to stop here and see if anybody out in our network has any questions. Jenny, is there anybody in the queue?
Yes, you have a question from Minneapolis.
Okay, go ahead, Minneapolis.
Hi. One of the questions that occurs to me has to do with the fact that this fall there is an off-year election in November in which there is less participation in general than during presidential election years. And so there is the likelihood, many people are predicting the possibility of a takeover of the Senate by Republicans. And I hear what you're saying about teaming up with groups with similar interests to make a point with an office holder or being aware of what the office holder is up against, what kind of environment he or she is in. So is there a way that we can anticipate what might occur in the Senate this fall by reaching out to Republican office holders at this time?
Well, I think clearly your question is right on, because the political narrative as it exists is that there is no governing going on right now. Even, as you pointed out, it's an off-year election with probably a very likely a depressed turnout, although Minnesota really turns out its voters with a strong frequency and high amounts of voter participation. But clearly, Karl Rove, who is targeting hundreds of thousands, actually millions of dollars through any of the number of the Citizens United-enabled groups that he has collecting gigantic consulting fees from, results members across the country can do one thing that will counteract some of that, and that is your ability and your skill sets in terms of writing letters to the editors of various papers, whether it's the Minneapolis Star Tribune or whether it's the Des Moines Register or the Portland, Maine Press Herald. You need to figure out ways in terms of your toolbox, and Results has provided you many tools for your toolbox, is to get messages out to these the independent voters, those that are not aligned specifically with a party candidate and who have drinking the Kool-Aid.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Jenny, do we have anyone else in the queue?
There are no further questions.
No questions right now. Okay. I we've got one here in Des Moines. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, it occurs to me it might be, the important part might be how you state the question, because let's use Senator Grassley as an example. When you go to a meeting with Senator Grassley, the audience is mostly made out of people who are going, yay, Senator Grassley, whatever you say is right. So you ask the question, let's say the question is about EITC, and he's going to say, oh, it's too much fraud in that program, and everybody's going to go, yay, Senator Grassley. How do you get over that hump?
Well, I tell you, it comes down in some respects, because I think it is an obstacle that you clearly point out in terms of the presence of the room. But given situational awareness, maybe one of the things you do is you walk around the building where the meeting is taking place, and you find out where his car is parked. And then you have a private conversation with him as he exits the building, and you try to get in front of him or elbow to elbow with him to talk to him about the particular issue that you want to talk about. There's no question about it, when you're asking a question, when there's a cast of maybe 50 to 75 people who are going to be cheering him on because he'll give the right answer, then think of another way to ask the question without creating an opportunity for the naysayers to have a big clap.
Great. Jenny, anyone else in the queue?
There are no further questions, sir.
Okay, I have one. I'll do one final question then. You know, Tom, you've shared many stories of things that Every Child Matters, and Every Child Matters has been very active in Iowa over the last 10 years because of the Iowa caucuses. And you told me a story that that happened back in 2004 that I think is kind of, you know, good illustration of being strategic and really how to kind of get your issues out there with Wesley Clark, a former presidential candidate. Do you want to tell that story real quick?
Yeah, this was in the fall of 2003. We had a staffer that was working with me in Des Moines at that time, and she had indicated to me, because we were looking at all the presidential candidates and their schedules, she indicated to me that Wesley Clark was going to be in the parking lot of the Drake Diner. I said, let's go, let's saddle up. We got 8 minutes to get there, and it was just up the street. So we went right up to the Drake Diner, parked our vehicle, and noticed that he was getting ready to leave. And I said, General, would love to talk to you about issues around children as it relates to your presidential campaign, particularly given you're going to be in Fort Dodge tonight. He says, well, why don't you jump in the car with me and talk about these issues? And I said, well, I can't do that right now, but I welcome the opportunity to prepare a talking points memo for you that you could weave into your presentation for the Senator Harkin Forum that you're going to have at the community college up in Fort Dodge. And what we did is we agreed that we would do that, and what we did as staffers to Every Child Matters was we prepared this particular document, went up to Fort Dodge that evening where he was having this forum, and we presented him with that information, gave him a very brief overview of what was contained in it. And in the meantime, we had people in the audience, and this gets into the T-shirt versus non-T-shirt sort of level of participation. I sent to Wesley Clark, there's going to be someone in the audience that's going to ask you a question specifically, and they will be wearing a T-shirt. And quite frankly, I know that question is going to be asked because we've set it up with Senator Harkin that he will call on this particular person. So you're prepared now if you just review this document, and bang, it happened.
Yeah, that's great.
And it was on C-SPAN.
Oh, wow, that's great. Yeah, so being strategic in these can certainly be very, very effective.
So it's being strategic, tactical, and being situationally aware. If you're going to be denied an opportunity or if under the circumstance, a lot of people there that are going to give him the big huzzah when he gives the right answer, figure out a way to talk to him privately.
Yeah. So I'm going to see if Jenny, did anyone else join the queue?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank Tom LaPointe for being on the call today and providing these great kind of insights to really take advantage of these public events during the recess this month around the country. Obviously, we still want you to get face-to-face meetings, sit-down meetings, but we know that they're not always, you can't always get those, so using these public events and town halls as a way to get the issues out there is a very effective way, and I think you've showed us some really, really helpful things that we can do, and we'll include the stuff that Tom said on the call in the summary from the call today, and I really appreciate your time today, Tom, and barbecue is on me next time.
Okay, me and the sunflowers will appreciate that.
Okay. So now, folks, if you're following along in the PowerPoint, we're on slide 8. So I just want to do a brief overview about a follow-up and then preview our August action, and then we'll go into our training for the month. So want to remind folks that, you know, please keep following up from your lobby meetings, whether they were meetings in D.C. or maybe recent face-to-face meetings you've had back home. You know, it's important to remember that a follow-up with the congressional office is more than just saying thank you for meeting with them. You also want to keep pushing your request. You know, remind them of your request and check on the status. You know, if they promise to do something, you want to keep checking with them until they actually do it. So with our issues right now, obviously, about the EITC, child tax credit, the financial security credit, we want to know if they said they were going to talk to the tax leaders about those issues, have they done it? If they said they were going to co-sponsor, you know, one of the bills that are listed there on slide 8, you know, the H.R. 769, H.R. 2116, H.R. 2917, or S. 836, you know, if they said they would co-sponsor it, you know, ask them, did they co-sponsor it? And if they haven't yet, ask them why not. Now, note, if you do get commitments from people this month about co-sponsoring, they won't necessarily show up until they get back in September because they don't update those lists until Congress is actually in session. And I'll tell you a story of mine personally, a follow-up and how it worked with one of our representatives here in Iowa just recently. You know, I've been working with Representative Bruce Braley, who represents Northeast Iowa, to co-sponsor H.R. 2116, the EITC bill in the House, and H.R. 2917, the financial security credit bill. He had already co-sponsored the child tax credit bill. And, you know, he's not my rep, but he generally supports our issues. And so we had, and we do have a group in his district. So we met with his tax aide in D.C. during the conference and asked her to urge him to co-sponsor those bills. So after the conference, you know, I followed up with the aide and reiterated my request to her, and then also urged him, because this was right around the time that they were going to vote on the bad child tax credit bill that Kayla talked about, urged him to vote no on that bill and to co-sponsor these other two good bills. Well, I didn't hear anything back from the aide until the day of the vote on H.R. 4935, and she left me a message asking her to call her back. And I knew she was calling to tell me that he voted for that bill, and he, in fact, did. So I called her back, and she wasn't there, but I was able to leave a message with her saying that I was disappointed that he voted for this bad child tax credit bill, and I ran through the reasons for that. But then I told her that if he's willing to support, you know, if he really does support working families and is willing to support this bad child tax credit bill, then surely he can co-sponsor the EITC and financial security credit bills. Well, I got an email about 4 or 5 days later saying that he had signed on to that bill, both of those bills. So that's a way to kind of, again, use follow-up to get what you want and also pay attention to what's going on in the news and what's going on legislatively at that time to kind of leverage that to get what you action on your requests. So now let's turn to the August action. You know, as I said, our goal, obviously, is still to get the face-to-face sit-down meetings with members of Congress. They're much more personal, more intimate, and they usually give you more time than a town hall is going to be. So please be sure to keep following up with your schedulers to find out if you can get any of those meetings set up before they head back to D.C. in September. However, we also know that you can't always get a sit-down face-to-face meeting, but because this is an election year, many members of Congress are doing town halls and public events this month, and they will be doing it again during the October recess. And so this is a good opportunity for you to address these issues, as we've talked about already, in a public place and hopefully get the member on the record publicly, you know, taking a stand one way or the other on your issues. It's also a good opportunity to educate the broader community, the people at the meeting, about your particular issues. So, you know, now I'm going to turn to Christy Martino, who's going to go into more depth about using town halls to kind of push our issues forward. And as you can see on slide number 9 there, you know, we do have the August action has great tips to help you with preparing for town halls, and we do have some sample town hall questions that you can use if you're not sure what to ask when you go to these events. But I'm pleased to introduce Christy Martino, our U.S. poverty organizer, who did a similar training like this at the conference in D.C., who will run through, you know, the do's and don'ts of a good town hall experience. Christy, you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Great. Hi, everyone. Like Joss mentioned, I am a U.S. poverty grassroots organizer, and I'm working in the Northeast and the Deep South. I'm so excited to be with you today to talk about one of my favorite tools in our activist toolkit, bird dogging. And I know this word has been mentioned several times already today, but I think maybe many of you might be saying, what in the world is bird dogging? Well, it's, you know, it's really just a tactic to ask pointed questions of members of Congress and candidates to see where they stand on issues we care about and to get that information out into the public arena. And much like an actual bird dog, the animal, is trained to flush out birds from a bush, we're here to learn how to flush out some answers, some truth, get the candidates on record. And the goal really is to shine a light on issues of poverty. You know, let Congress or candidates and the public know that it's crucial for us to be talking about poverty. So we've got some helpful bullet points for you to take advantage of town halls or really any public appearance. And like Mr. LaPointe said, you know, it doesn't have to be. If you miss your opportunity in a public event, try to follow up with them privately. Try to see where they're headed after the event. So the first thing we need to do is find an event. And there's several ways to do this. You know, definitely check your member of Congress websites, sign up for their e-newsletters, look in the newspaper, start following them on Twitter, follow their staff on Twitter. Oftentimes, you know, one of our New Hampshire representatives, Senator Ayotte, doesn't really announce many events that she's going to, but she does tweet where she's going to be. So pay attention to that stuff. Also, office schedulers that you've already built a relationship with in making meeting requests, ask them the next time they're going to have a town hall. Ask them, you know, to let you know. And you can find more about, you know, the Member of Congress websites and find more places to find this information on our CAPWIS. So how do you make the most of this? And in anything we do, we want to be prepared. You want to research as much as you can. You know, I would check out on CAPWIS, see how your candidate voted, see how what their messaging is on a specific topic, so you can sort of anticipate what their answer is going to be and follow up correctly and appropriately and get the most out of it. The second thing, you know, get a feel for the location and the audience for the event. You know, a high-priced dinner in D.C. is going to be a very different crowd and a different feel than a small town hall in Exeter, New Hampshire. So just make sure you're aware of the situation. Secondly, get a posse. Go in a group if you can. It's the best way to sort of increase your chances of getting called on. You know, don't cluster up, sit separately. Sometimes what's really interesting is if, let's say you did bring five people and each of you got called on to ask a question, and each of you ask a question around poverty issues, it's going to make that whole room understand that this is an issue that people need to be talking about and people are concerned about. So, and then lastly on Get a Posse, designate someone to take notes. I've done a lot of bird dogging, and it is a super exciting, high adrenaline rush. The problem with that is sometimes you get your question out there, you're so focused, you're shaking the hand, you forget or you don't hear what the candidate or the member of Congress responds, and that's really important. So make sure someone's recording the experience just in case you sort of are in the moment and can't pay attention. So be strategic. We've talked a lot about this. Arrive early at these events, and by early, literally, I mean, you know, try to get there an hour early if you can. Sit where you can be seen. If you have an opportunity to make contact with the speaker, eye contact, that's a great way to sort of seem engaged and they're ready and willing to call on you. Wear conspicuous but not political clothing. Again, sort of check out the scenery, check out the audience, make sure that you're sort of, you know, you look like you belong there and you look like you're not going to be an incredible disruptor. And the most important tool, if you don't remember anything from today but this, remember this. Get your hand up first, fast, and high. Most of the time at town hall events, if they have a question and answer period, they'll say, okay, we'll take questions from the crowd. As soon as you hear that, just stick your hand up. A lot of times most people hesitate before they raise their hand, so you won't get your question asked. You won't be called on. But if you get your hand up first, fast, and high, you have a really good likelihood of getting called on. So now if you're following on, we're on slide 12. What happens if you don't get called on, or what happens if there is no question and answer period? So have a backup plan. Anytime there's a public event, you know, if when the candidate or the member of Congress has to leave, there's usually a handshake line. As they exit the building, stand in that handshake line. Hold on to their hand as long as you can. Do your epic speech. get a photo while you're turning the camera around to do a selfie with the member of Congress. Ask them your questions. Take the most advantage that you can out of all these situations. If you can't get in touch with that person and with the speaker, seek out the media. You know, see the people that are writing down in reporters' notebooks. See the people with cameras. Go and talk about the issues that were highlighted or not highlighted. If you wanted to ask a question, say, you know, this is a great event, but I'm really upset that so-and-so didn't talk about protecting working families. You know, get that issue out as much as you can. And then find the staff, like Mr. LaPointe said again, find the staff that are working and ask for a meeting. Give them your lobby requests, you know, open the door to starting that relationship for a line of communication. And lastly, share. If you have this wonderful experience and nobody else knows about it, that's really a shame. So as soon as it happens, inform your network, you know, put it on social media, share your photos. Write a letter to the editor about the experience. You know, don't keep it to yourself and make sure everybody knows that you were there and that the issue that you were concerned about needs to be discussed. So now you kind of know the situation and you know how to do it. I think the most important thing is to really think about that question that you're going to ask. Make sure it's short, concise. I would suggest writing it down and practicing it so that you feel more comfortable. And make sure that question has the answer in it. I think someone had a great question about, you know, what if a whole crowd applauds at an answer that you don't like? Well, try to ask that question in a way that has the answer in it and make sure it's a clear yes or no question, just the same way that we make our hard ask. And if you get a face-to-face meeting or schedule to plan an event, let us know. Contact Meredith, contact Joss, and we can help you prepare for that. So I hope that was helpful. And now I would love everybody to challenge yourself a little bit. I'd love everyone in your group to commit to attending at least 3 town halls and public events this month. I'm definitely going to try to do that. And again, you know, we're a nonpartisan organization. Don't limit it to just your specific representatives. Try to go to anything that anyone's going. If Joe Biden's going to show up somewhere, ask him a question. You know, we're trying to see where their stance is, but we're also trying to get this information into the public discourse. So additional resources for you there, you know, take a look back at our August action, take a look at our town hall activist milestone. We've got our lobby materials and resources up there, and we've got some great sample town hall questions for you to get started with. Thank you so much, guys. Have fun.
Thanks so much, Christy. Really appreciate it. Very, very good, helpful tips on bird dogging. And as she mentioned, you know, if you have any questions about how to find events or what to do in an event or what kind of question to ask, you know, please don't hesitate to contact me or Meredith, and we are happy to help with you. So now we're going to transition to our share section, and I'm going to go out to Jenny Votes from Results Columbus, and I would, again, echo what Scott says, being a call, you know, thanking Jenny so much for her great work on the results board, and we're glad that even though she's leaving the board, she's still going to be a very active part of our network and sharing her leadership with us going forward. So, Jenny, you there? Do we have the Columbus line?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Jenny. We can hear you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I want to just say that it has been an honor to be on the board as a grassroots member for two terms, and I'm sad to be leaving, but I'm going to be turning some attention back to my wonderful group here in Columbus and hoping that we can get even stronger. So I want to talk about an experience that I had recently speaking to my representative. You know, I'm from Ohio, and it's a state that went from mostly Democratic districts to mostly Republican districts in 2010. And I do understand why it's important for results to be nonpartisan and for volunteers to develop and cultivate relationships with elected officials from both parties. Right now, my Central Ohio group covers 3 districts, 2 of which are Republican. When we were at the IC, we visited 9 of the 16 Ohio offices in June. As always, we're requesting face-to-face meetings during the August recess, and we do have one scheduled with one of the Republican reps for this coming Monday. Last week, I actually got a call from Congressman Patrick Teaberry, who represents the 12th Congressional District in Ohio and sits on the very important House Ways and Means Committee, which deals with taxes. He, by the way, is a Republican. He was calling to explain that he couldn't meet with us this month because we'd met with him several times before, and he was reserving to speak on the phone and discuss issues we care about. We ended up talking for almost 20 minutes, mostly about various tax issues. I mentioned the EITC and child tax credit, which are not new to him. In the past, he's assured me that he is in favor of EITC and CTC and that they're not going away. However, he's not voted to make the 2009 improvements that we support permanent. I don't think any Republican has, actually. He went out of his way to explain that he does care about poverty, but he believes poverty will be resolved through jobs and education. He also told me about his work helping businesses create more jobs through tax credits and the programs he has worked on for homeless veterans. He said right now their attention was on the 50 or so business tax credits that have or will expire soon, and that EITC and CTC improvements 3 years from now seem like eons away. I tried to listen and have an open mind. I acknowledged his work and gave him credit for what he has done. I tried to find common ground, realizing that our worldviews might not be similar. When he said a $25,000 research and development tax credit was not nearly enough to help companies expand, I said that millions of families live on less than that for a whole year. When he said he wanted to improve EITC so it wouldn't come in a lump sum and be blown all at once, I found myself listing the things people blow their EITC on, like rent and school clothes and tires and medical bills. We also talked about H.R. 4935, the bad CTC bill Kayla mentioned at the start of the call. He voted for it, but when I pointed out that it expanded the CTC to wealthy families but would eliminate it for 4.5 million children who are U.S. citizens, he was astonished. He asked me to send him information about this, and I have. It puzzles me to think that a member of Congress would vote for a bill yet be so in the dark about it. But I was grateful to be in a position to educate him and provide him the facts which results provided to me. I also brought up the financial security credit, and he asked me to send him more information when the Senate version of the bill came out. After circling around all these topics, it was apparent that we see things through different lenses. I was becoming discouraged about not finding the common ground that I always hoped for. So I said to myself, what the heck, and went all in. I asked him to be the voice for struggling families in his party, families who have no one to turn to, who often feel hopeless working full-time but still living in poverty. I asked him to find a way to work for them that really helps. What did I have to lose? Mr. T-Berry comes from a family of humble beginnings, a fact he often references. He was on free and reduced lunches as a kid in Columbus schools. I don't know if he'll take up my challenge, but maybe he'll think of that as he reads the material I sent and he thinks about what will happen to EITC and CTC families after 2017. Maybe I'm a dreamer, but at least I had a chance to have this conversation. I'm glad of that. A step, even if it's a baby step, is still a step. So I thank you for this opportunity, and I hope we have better luck on Monday. I'm done. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks so much, Jenny. I appreciate it, and appreciate you highlighting the fact that, you know, the result is a bipartisan organization and that we work with whoever's in office, regardless of what party they're from, and working to try to find that common ground. And I applaud you on your efforts with Representative T-Berry. So we have a couple extra minutes, and we haven't done open shares in I don't know how long. And so I don't know if anyone out there has a recent lobby meeting they'd like to share about or a recent success they'd like to talk about and share with the group. We have a couple minutes to do that. So if you press star one and have a share you'd like to do real quick, we'd be glad to have it. Or if you have a question of something that you've heard on the call today. So give you 10 seconds to dial in to star one, and then we'll go to Jenny and see if anyone's in the queue. Okay, Jenny, anyone in their queue?
There are no responses, sir.
No responses. Okay. Well, be thinking next month. Hopefully we'll have some time for open chairs next month, and we certainly want to hear about your successes and what's going on with your lobby meetings. So if you didn't have anything to share today, be sure to let us know when you have one of those successes, whether it's media-related or with your legislative advocacy. So now I'm happy to turn the call over to Scott Smith in San Diego to do our roll call. Scott, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Hi, this is Scott Smith from San Diego Group. I'm pleased to do this month's roll call. Here are the three questions we want you to answer this month. One, how many people are in the room? Two, how many face-to-face meetings will your group try to schedule this month? And three, how many town hall events will your group try to attend this month? In a minute, the operator will begin calling your groups by city. When your city is called, simply answer the question like this. Our numbers are 6, 4, and 5. Remember, the operator will unmute your phone when your city is called, so you don't need to do anything to your phone. Again, the questions are, how many people are in the room? Two, how many face-to-face meetings will your group try to achieve this month? And three, how many town hall events will your group try to attend this month? Okay, operator, you can begin.
Los Angeles.
LA, are you there?
I have three and one.
I'm here. Sorry. Yes, one person here in my group, and we're planning on three meetings this month.
One. She already went to it.
San Diego.
Our numbers are 5, 3, and 1.
Aurora.
Our numbers are 1, 2, and 2.
Chicago.
1 and 1.
That was Chicago.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
I don't have the numbers. This is Maxine. I'm part of Circles, and I was just listening on the call. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Maxine. Let's go on to the next city. Jenny.
Des Moines.
Des Moines, we are 5, 3, and 3.
Selena.
The one has 4 in the room and 0 for the other 2 because we checked and our members of Congress will not be in the state.
Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky?
Yes.
1 in the room, 4 and 4.
Hickory Point.
1 in the room, 2 face-to-faces, and we're shooting for 7 town hall events.
College Park. College Park. Baltimore.
Baltimore, 2, 6, and 1.
Detroit.
Our numbers are 2, 1, and 1.
Minneapolis.
Our numbers are 2, 2, and 2.
St. Louis.
There is 1 in the room, and we'll hopefully get a couple face-to-face and 2 town halls.
Whitefish.
There's 1 in the room, 3 face-to-face, maybe 3 town halls, maybe.
Brennardsville.
Our numbers are 5, 3, and 3.
Santa Fe.
Our numbers are 10, 2 face-to-face, and not sure yet about town halls.
Columbus.
Our numbers are 8, 3, and 3.
Dayton.
Hi, I'm proud to announce that I've recruited 2 new volunteers for the results advocacy, and there's 1 person in the room, and 2 and 1.
Chambersburg.
Oh, our numbers are 1, 2, and 2.
Houston.
5, 4, 5.
Katie.
Numbers are 1, 1, and 1.
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, 1, 1, and 1.
Penn Falls Church.
2, 2, and 2.
Great. Thanks so much, Jenny. Cynthia, you have totals?
Yes, I do. You have 61 individuals on the line. You have 52 face-to-face meetings and 45 possible town hall meetings.
All right. Great, folks. Well, thanks so much for making those commitments to get out there, and good luck with doing that. So now let me turn it over to Mirden Thompson to close out our call.
Sales organizer from Louisville, Kentucky. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Mirden.
Thanks, Joss. Hey, folks, remember to please fill out the lobby report form. We know there are still some lobby report forms out there yet to be submitted. If you haven't filled out the form for your meetings in D.C. or meetings you've had since then, please fill them out ASAP. You can find the link to the form in the slides and in Tuesday's weekly update. Hey, folks, I was live tweeting this, and you can learn how to tweet this summer. The Media Support Group wants to help you use Twitter to advocate for the end of poverty. They have materials to show you how. Tune in to next Tuesday's weekly update for details. Note, there is no media support call this month. The regular media support call will resume in September. Beginning next week, Results founder Sam Daly Harris will be hosting a three-week discussion about his book, Reclaiming Our Democracy, about the founding of Results. If you're ready to be inspired or re-inspired about your work with Results, please join the discussion. The series will be held August 13th, 20th, and 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. To participate in the series, go to the registration page linked in today's slides and to our weekly updates. Beginning next week, check out the Results Blog's four-week series on getting face-to-face meetings with members of Congress. Learn why these meetings are so important and helpful tips for getting them. Don't forget, the next Results introductory call is this Wednesday, August 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Introduce Results to someone you know by inviting them to join the call. People can register at the Become a Results Activist page under the Take Action tab on the Results website. And the next Results U.S. Poverty Free Agents call will be Tuesday, August 19th at 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find these and other upcoming events along with conference call numbers on the Results events calendar. Thank you for being on the call today. The next Results U.S. Poverty National Conference call is Saturday, September 13th at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. Finally, yesterday was the last day for our U.S. Poverty intern, Kayla Kitson, and a few weeks ago, our other intern, Jay Carroll, ended his internship with us. Both Kayla and Jay were invaluable in helping us this spring and summer. In particular, they did a lot of work preparing the materials many of you used at this year's international conference. They both displayed a passion and professionalism for this work, and we deeply thank them for their invaluable service. We wish them both the best of luck going forward. So, operator, please open up all the lines so we can say a hearty thank you and good luck to both Kayla and Jay.
Yay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Thanks
for the work.
Well, that's all for this.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks much. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Electronic reproduction. Well, I can.